darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Well, Johnny, because we said that it would not be fun to do a sad podcast, and they're going to make us do a sad podcast, aren't they?
Let's just get the hard part over with. I'm kind of at a loss for words.
Michigan 45, Notre Dame 14. Michigan extending that lead late. I think realistically it was probably 31-7 or so, maybe 38-7. But this one was a stinker. Just to run down the stat line, Ian Book, 8 of 25 for 73 yards and a touchdown. He was pulled for Phil Jakovic, who went 3 for 4 for 60 yards and a touchdown. 31 rushes for 47 yards as a team. No receiver had more than 2 catches. I'm looking for the bright spot here. The defense played great, I think. I think the defense played very well. I think Clark Lee did what he had to do against a talented offense to give the team a chance to win. The offense was terrible. And terrible is like an understatement. The game plan was bad. The execution was worse. No one seemed to be motivated. It wasn't even like we got outclassed or anything like that. Nobody seemed motivated to play that game.
A game like that is inexcusable. Coming off of a bye week, they had 14 days to prepare. They had no classes last week. All they had to focus on was football. And to come out flat, to come out uninspired, to come out and get absolutely run over is inexcusable. It's inexcusable. And I really believed that Notre Dame had turned that page, that those days were over. And I guess they're not. And I'm at a loss for words because this football team is so much better than they played last night. So much better. They have a ton of talent. And I truly believed, especially after watching Georgia, that Notre Dame, with the exception of maybe Alabama and Ohio State, can go toe-to-toe with any team in the country. What was that? I mean, legitimately, what was that? Michigan is not a good team. Michigan is not a 45-14 win over Notre Dame type good of a team. They're not. I have no idea how to even articulate how bad last night was. And to do that against your rival, to do that on the road, after a bye week, 14 days to prepare, no classes last week, I mean, what the hell is going on? Notre Dame doesn't do that. Notre Dame doesn't do that anymore. And that was just so disappointing to watch that team play. So disappointing. And now we don't play Michigan for another 14 years. So we have that bad taste in our mouths for a long time. And Michigan made sure we knew that. Go look at their Twitter account, their official Michigan football and Michigan athletics Twitter account, and just see what they've been saying after the game. They are loving this. They are basking in the glory of last night's win and rubbing it right in our faces. You know, 37-0 doesn't mean anything anymore. And that one sucked. That sucked. Is the season over? No, it's not over. And I think that's the, after you get over the bitter disgust of last night's game, you have to look at what's in front of Notre Dame. And they can take this loss and they can either turn it into something that motivates them for the rest of the season, or they can allow 2014 to happen again and just completely fall down the tubes. So it's their choice. It's the team's choice. Are they going to come out flat, uninspired, and play like they did last night for the rest of the year? Or are they going to take this, learn from it, and turn it into something that can be positive, meaning they can win out and get to a New Year's Six Bowl still? That's what's in front of them. So it's up to them. But damn, that sucked. Because I truly believed that that it was over. That dropping a game like that, like a Miami 2017 type game where you just come out and you had no fight whatsoever, I thought that was over. Guess it's not.
This is why, for me, this is my least favorite of the Notre Dame, you know, traditional football games, because it's like playing your brother. It's not like playing, I don't know if it's like playing your little brother or your big brother or whatever it is, but it's one of those games where it's one of those matchups where when you beat them 37-0 or you beat them at all, you just love it. You love playing Michigan. You rub it in their faces, you know, opening week last year, that's what it was. You know, it's just great to beat them, and we just brag about it for no end. But when you lose, no matter whether it's by a point or whether it's by a scoreline of 45-14, you never want to play a football game against them again. You never want to play in the yard with your brother again after he beats you 45-14. And that's why I love hate this game so much, is because it's just, when you lose, nothing hurts worse than a loss like that where you know that they're just going to gloat about it for all eternity. Because, you know, Notre Dame and USC play every year. You know, whoever won last year's game, it goes out the window come, you know, October or November the next season. But with the way this Michigan rivalry is now, you know, it doesn't just go out the window. It's bragging rights for till the next time you play. And that is just a cursed building. I mean, Notre Dame hasn't won in Ann Arbor in, I think the last time was 2005. So,
since 2005. Yeah.
That's a cursed building. But I don't know. This might be an unpopular opinion, a hot take, whatever you want to call it. I think that this game is in and of itself that game should be taken in a vacuum. I don't think that this game should be lumped in with all of the other big games, in sarcastic air quotes, that Notre Dame has blown or played well in or failed to show up in. This game shouldn't go in the category of, you know, Notre Dame can't win on the road against a good team. Like, I don't think that this game should be considered with the rest of them. It can be, but I think that this game should be sucked into a vacuum and put by itself. Because I don't think that every time Notre Dame loses to a big good team, there needs to be some sort of existential breakdown of the spirit of Notre Dame football as it stands right now. Like I think that this game just
sucked. I don't think so either.
And I think that Notre Dame wasn't prepared. The offensive game plan was atrocious. And if you're the type of person who really needs to assign blame in this one, it's got to go squarely on the shoulders of Chip Long, Ian Book, and the offense. But I don't think that this type of loss deserves to be another cog in the machine of Notre Dame is helpless in big games. Clemson, sure, like any of the big bowl games, take your pick. You know, Florida State and Clemson on the road in 2014 and 2015. But I don't know. I don't want to assess this game as just another in a long line of failures to rise to the occasion, because I don't think that that's what it was. I think that this was, I mean, we talked about it last week. The two keys to Notre Dame winning this game, I said, you got to score early and you have to force turnovers. They scored their first points very late in the game, middle of the third quarter, end of the third quarter. And they didn't force a single turnover. And I mean, those were the ways you were going to beat Michigan. Michigan was going to get points. Michigan was going to move the football. Probably shouldn't have gotten 300 yards on the ground, but Michigan was going to move the football. And Notre Dame's offense had to give the defense some cushion. And four straight three and outs to end the first half, and then another two to start the second half. You're not giving your defense any rest, any chance, a semblance of hope. I mean, this game basically was over at 3-0. So I don't think that this should, again, be assessed as just another in a long line of failures. I think that this is a failure in and of itself, because Notre Dame didn't, you know, rise to the occasion like they usually don't. Notre Dame just didn't show up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you. I think the point of this is that how can you not be prepared to play in a game like last night's game? And, you know, Clemson last year, Clemson was just such a, they were far superior. Michigan was not far superior. Miami, 2017, not far superior. You know, you can go down the list of games in the Brian Kelly era where teams the Notre Dame has lost to have not been far superior than Notre Dame. And I'm not saying that the wheels are going to fall off the bus or that this one loss means Brian Kelly should be fired or blah, whatever. I'm not going to, that's an overreaction. I think the way I'm reacting though is the appropriate reaction, because last night absolutely should not have happened. And, you know, I gave Brian Kelly a ton of credit and have on this podcast and even before for turning things around after 2016. And, you know, games against Georgia, Clemson, those are games that, you know, you can walk away with a loss and think, all right, fine, I did not expect to win that game and they played well and whatever. You know, Miami 2017, obviously inexcusable. But last night was so beyond that, because I don't mind losing, and I said this, losing is part of the game. You lose, that's fine. It's going to happen. It's what makes college football's regular season so great, because every game is so important. Ask Oklahoma. They looked past Kansas State, and it's going to burn them. Every game means something. You have to come out and you have to play every game like it's the Super Bowl. And that may be emotionally exhausting, physically exhausting for the players and the coaches, but that's the reality of college football. You know, only Alabama can look past a weaker opponent and still crush them.
Because they play,
they're like FCS the only ones.
But
and maybe Clemson.
Anyway, that's not the point.
Okay, whatever. But still, they're in a class of their own, right? Them and Clemson are in a class of their own. And unfortunately, they've altered the expectation for every college football program, right? But every game matters, and you have to show up to play in every game. And I just don't understand how, after 14 days of preparation, Notre Dame played like they did last night.
I am most frustrated with the offensive game plan, not even the execution, but what Notre Dame tried to do on offense. I mean, the offensive line wasn't going to be able to keep Ian Book clean all night. I mean, this defense was going to get pressure every now and then. They sure as heck shouldn't have gotten 5 QB hurries. And I mean, 5 tackles for loss seems a little bit low, but that doesn't really include the 1 yard runs that just got stuffed because Notre Dame insisted on running around the edge, even though everybody knew. I mean, they were playing man coverage and Notre Dame's running around the edge. These defensive backs and safeties are just shedding their guys and making the tackle. There was an inability or an unwillingness to run the ball between the tackles or up the middle and test the middle of the Michigan defense. There was an unwillingness to do so. There was an unwillingness for Ian Book to scan the field and look for someone other than his first route. There was an unwillingness from Ian Book to step up in the pocket as soon as he even sniffed a Michigan defender getting near him. He was bailing out, and he scrambled, and he tripped. I mean,
let's talk about Ian Book. He was bad.
And he's been, I don't want to say he's been bad this year. He hasn't been, he has regressed. He has regressed from where he should be and where he was.
Here's the thing, though. That's only his third loss as a starter, right? And I'm convinced now, especially after watching last night's game, that Ian Book's issues are not physical. He's a damn good quarterback. He's accurate. He can throw a good ball. He's maybe not the deep threat passer that some of the other quarterbacks like Joe Burrow around the country are, or Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. He's not that. But he's pretty damn good, and he has, you know, a lot of really good physical traits. His issues are entirely mental. Entirely mental. He lacks the confidence to be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. Ian Book is a man that is scared of his own shadow right now. And that's unfortunate because I loved watching him play last year. And I even at times this year, I've loved watching him play. And I think he has the tools to put it together physically. I know he does because we've seen it happen from him. But I think this year's difference is that he did not come in with the weight of the world on his shoulders when he started in game number 4 last year taking over for Brandon Wimbush. He didn't have that entire offseason to ponder what it was like to be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. Well, he did this year in coming into this season. And I think that's the difference. And I think the pressure has caught up to him. And all of the question marks about him taking the passing game to the next level are beginning and reared its ugly self last night against Michigan. They're beginning to pile up. And his problems are entirely mental. Because he's really good. And I don't think that he should be benched for the rest of the year. And there's something about quarterbacks in the Brian Kelly era. For some reason, they've never taken that next leap to improve. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if he just can't coach quarterbacks or Notre Dame's never had a good enough quarterbacks coach. I don't know if Tommy Rees isn't a good quarterbacks coach. I don't know. I'm not inside the program to know enough about that. But why can Notre Dame quarterbacks under Brian Kelly just not improve? It's the same thing over and over and over again. And I wonder if that's what it boils down to is coaching. Is Brian Kelly does he just suck at coaching quarterbacks?
Well, I'm not sure how much coaching.
Is that the issue?
There's
plenty of evidence.
I'm not sure how much
there's plenty of evidence.
Brian Kelly actually does anymore. And depending on how you feel about the guy, that's a good thing or a bad thing. But is
Tommy Rees a good quarterbacks coach or is he just the quarterbacks coach because he played there 5 years ago or 6 years ago and he's an alum? Like, why is he actually the quarterbacks coach? Did we hire him because he's just really that talented and that precocious as a guy in his mid to late 20s to be a quarterbacks coach at a Division I program like Notre Dame? Is that why we hired him, or did we hire him simply because he had the pedigree behind him? I don't know the answer to that question. But, you know, Notre Dame hired Lance Taylor, running backs coach, last year from Stanford, and that was a damn good hire. Like, he's going to make an impact.
The running backs have improved.
Maybe not this year. I mean, they have improved.
And
position coaching matters, okay? Harry Heaston, it matters who your position
coach
is.
Chip Long is a great tight ends coach. He has been a great tight end coach. I don't know about Chip Long as an offensive coordinator. Chip Long's offensive game plan, and we talked about it at Georgia too. I mean, he abandoned the run game at Georgia. Not because it wasn't working. He didn't even try. I don't understand what he saw on film that would make him think that anybody other than Braden Lindsey, and even not Braden Lindsey because he only got one shot, would have the speed to get to the edge and get a corner and gain some yards running to the outside. And I'm not sure what he saw from this Michigan team that made him think that he couldn't throw the ball over the middle of the field. I wasn't studying film all week, and I'm not an offensive coordinator, but I'm not sure what Chip Long or Brian Kelly or whoever it was, I'm not sure what their thinking was in the game plan, because it was stupid. It was a bad offensive game plan, and they're lucky they scored 14 points. And I don't know what possessed them to do that. I mean, given the rain, the rain didn't even seem to affect the gameplay that much. It wasn't that sloppy. It was just a rainy day in Ann Arbor. And maybe they would have thrown it more.
Yeah, well, certainly didn't affect Michigan.
Michigan adjusted. I mean, Michigan said, hey, okay, fine. We'll throw the ball 14 times. We'll run the ball 57 times and pound you over and over and over again. And that makes me real worried for a Navy team that only got one loss, by the way, and they're going to run the ball around 30, 40 times and in every which direction. And if this is how Notre Dame is capable of stopping the run, I don't know how they're going to be able to beat Navy.
No. Notre Dame is better than this. Notre Dame is better than last night. Michigan made Notre Dame look like a JUCO team playing the 85 Bears. And that's not who Notre Dame is. And that's why I think we're all sort of stunned and we're sort of at a loss for words. Even Brian Kelly at a loss for words. Because this is not the Notre Dame team that we know this year. So I think let's talk about what comes next, because this was bad. There were no good takeaways from last night, but there is still a ton in front of the Irish for the rest of this season. And the schedule is not difficult. And I know people are going to look at last night's game and go, oh man, Notre Dame probably has one or two more losses on there based on the way they played last night. Well, last night I think was an aberration in this season, or at least I hope. And every game left on the schedule is winnable, easily winnable. They open up as 16.5 point favorites against Virginia Tech next weekend. So the team's got to move on. They cannot let this loss linger, and they cannot let it affect how they play this coming Saturday against Virginia Tech at home or any of the rest of the Saturdays that they have a game. Because if that's if they're going to let it affect them, then pencil in two or three more losses. And then we're sitting here at the end of the season, and I don't know what kind of conversation we're having. But I will forget about this Michigan game if Notre Dame can win out and get to a New Year's Six Bowl. And I don't know who their opponent's going to be. And I don't care if we win it. I'd like to. But as long as we fight and we play admirably, and if we come out with a close loss,
right now,
fine.
Projected the Camping World Bowl against Kansas State.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Whatever. It's not a New Year's Six Bowl, but, you know, if they can win out, I think they can get it. So that's what the focus has to be. And I will have no problem at the end of the season. We're doing a podcast after the bowl game. Let's say it's a New Year's Six win, whatever. The only thing about last night's game that I'm going to care about is the fact that we have to sit with it until 2033. And if Michigan season's implodes and they get boat raced by Ohio State like they will and like they have for, I think, 14 straight years, and they go to another postseason bowl game and they flop, great. I will forget about last night's game if Notre Dame can turn this season around, starting with Virginia Tech this weekend. And they have the ability to do that. We know that. We've watched this team play for the past couple years. The question is whether they have the will to do it. And I don't know the answer to that after watching
and that
last
was
night.
I mean, that was the most shocking thing to me you. Was the utter lack of motivation, of will, of, you know, someone punches you in the mouth and you stand up and you punch him right back because it's football. I mean, like, Notre Dame was just eating punches left and right and had an unwillingness to fight back. And they just didn't, they didn't seem motivated. And how, and I'm not sure how, if Brian Kelly couldn't get them motivated for this game, you know, how is he going to get them motivated to play the rest of the games in their schedule? So I think what I'm looking for is an attitude shift from this team. I mean, the attitude that they had after that loss to Georgia of anybody else on our schedule, we're coming for you. I mean, what, like,
yep.
And the post game press conference from Brian Kelly, where he sounds like he's offering a confessional. Like, I mean, where's the energy from Brian Kelly as a leader, as the leader of this football team? I mean, no, I'm not expecting some sort of Tim Tebow tear-jerking speech about how we're never going to lose another game or whatever. But I want some fight, some fire, some passion from this team, from somebody to step up and say, that was unacceptable. We're better than that. Or I mean, yeah. where is that fire coming from? Because I'm not sure where it is. And I think that Notre Dame thought that they could sleepwalk the rest of their schedule after Georgia. And now my biggest fear is that they're going to play scared for the rest of the season. They're going to play, they're going to be like, well, if Michigan's going to do that to us, then Virginia Tech might do it, and Navy, and God forbid Boston College. I mean, Notre Dame needs to have a major attitude shift next weekend. And I mean, they don't, like, I'd love it more than anything if they blew the doors off Virginia Tech, but show me a clean game of guys that are fired up because they're playing football at the University of Notre Dame. And right. And that's not something that I've seen this year. It's in the second half of the season. I mean, that it's goes back to before this Michigan game. I mean, the USC game, they looked flat at times, but they got up for it because it was a rivalry game and there was some fire. And there was just a bunch of jawing in this one. They were talking back and forth, and that was it. I mean, they're making a tackle on a Michigan running back after a 5-yard gain, and they're jawing at the offensive line and stuff like it's going to be all night, and then they miss three more tackles. I mean, it just I mean, there's a loss for words because there's no way to describe what you saw last night, because it's a question of if Notre Dame even showed up last night. And
yeah, well, they didn't. They did not.
And so, I mean, I don't really have much more to say about it. I guess, you know, big picture for the rest of the season, I mean, this is about Notre Dame improving on a game-to-game basis, getting guys who are going to be back next year better with each and every game. And so, I mean, again, I don't like to do the whole existential analysis of Notre Dame after a loss like this.
No. That's an overreaction. But
I think that there are some important questions that loom for Notre Dame in the offseason, such as, is Ian Book the quarterback for next year? And does Brian Kelly need to make a coordinator change or a position coach change in the offseason? So, I don't know. I think that Ian Book has the capacity to learn and get better and get back to where he was last season and improve from that. And I think that he should stay the quarterback. I don't think that it should be the Phil Jurkovic show for the rest of the season. Maybe in the spring you have a competition or you assess both quarterbacks in the spring game or something. But I don't agree that Phil Jurkovic should get the starting role right now. You?
No, I don't either. And I think that a game like last night can really cause a team, a coaching staff, a player to really look inward and decide, you know, what do I need to do to make sure that that does not happen? It's hard to do that after a win because you're winning. It doesn't sting. Even though you may have played a bad game in a win, the motivation maybe isn't there. And after a loss, especially after a loss like that last night, if that doesn't make Ian Book look inward on himself and go, okay, I really need to fix this, like right now, like yesterday, and spend whatever he needs to, however much time he needs to spend in the film room, on the practice field, or whatever. If a loss like last night doesn't make him do that, then I don't know what will. And maybe he can turn it around. But their season, the new season starts this Saturday with Virginia Tech. Okay, playoff over. You don't have the pressure of that. Done. So the new season starts this week in practice. And they can turn this Michigan game into a positive reminder of what a loss like that can do for a team, or they can let it linger and they can let it affect the way that they play and prepare for the rest of the season. So this team needs to show a lot this Saturday against a bad Virginia Tech team.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything else to say.
I mean, I don't either. Notre Dame, there's more football to be played. I mean, there's still five more games this season and a bowl game. Notre Dame cannot let this loss derail the rest of their season. You cannot let Michigan beat you twice. No. So you got business to take care of. You're back home. You got two road games for the rest of the season, and you got to protect the house on Saturday. So send us your thoughts on Notre Dame, Michigan, because I have a lot of them, but I'm still working through which of them are rational. So I hope that I put most of the rational ones in audio form today. But
don't overreact. Don't overreact from one game, win, loss, whatever. We can talk about the existential questions when the season's over.
This is a children's game, and there's no reason for us to all consider our collective mortality because of it. So let's just take this one on the chin, and let's go whoop some hokey on Saturday.
Please. We need it for our sanity.